Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome once again to the Voice of Joy, Pastor Yolanda on Blog Talk Radio. What a blessing to be here with you on a Saturday afternoon. It's a beautiful day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know what you're doing this afternoon, but I hope you're taking the time out to listen to the Voice of Joy with Pastor Yolanda on Blog Talk Radio. And that special guest that we'll have coming on after we get started, amen, amen, with prayer and, of course, a song, a couple of songs, amen. Then we'll turn it loose to our special speaker for today, amen. Let's give him a hand praise right now, amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on today, author and a fabulous speaker, Mr. Don S. McClure, amen. Well, I tell you what, let's get started on the Voice of Joy, amen. We're going to start with a song, do it a little different today. Prayer first, song, and then a scripture. Are you ready? Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts, amen. And let's get ready to shout with a praise of victory for all God has done for each and every one of us. Somebody out there shout amen. And somebody out there shout amen again, amen, from the bottom of our heart. If it had not been for the Lord, where would we be? Bow your heads in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, most gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you because this is the day that you have made, a beautiful day, made it just for us, and we're going to rejoice in it. We're going to enjoy it. And we're going to thank you for it. Bless our families, our friends, and everybody that's out there listening to the Voice of Joy. And even those that don't, may they be inspired and somehow find a way to be tuned in and to be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we pray this day. Amen and amen. Let's try a song, and then we'll go immediately into a scripture, must have scripture. Somebody needs to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Here we go. Here we go. Put those hands together. Let's enjoy the day. Happy day.
Happy day.
Happy day.
Happy day.
washed all my sins away. Amen. Are you out there? Are you listening to the voice of joy? Remember, the call-in number is 1-888-342-0407. I want to share just a short portion of a scripture with you. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Psalms 90. Amen. We'll begin with the first verse. Only read a few verses, because I want to leave enough room for the speaker for today, because I'm sure you will be blessed and receive a lot of knowledge from the things that he will say. Amen. Psalms 90. Are you out there? Are you listening? Amen. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and saith, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. So let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and established thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Amen. Let's go to verse 15. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Not his word, but the word that we have read. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers of his word. Amen. Sometimes you have to watch what you say, because people will pounce on you quick and in a hurry. But you're pouncing on the word of God. I read it exactly as God said to read it, and I hope you were blessed by it. Amen. May evil depart from us, and may we be blessed with the glorious, happy blessings of the Lord that come upon us from day to day. Amen. Morning by morning, new mercies we will see. Amen. And many don't understand that a lot of times we see those blessings when we're born again. Amen. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Going to rush right quick with this song. Not rush with the song, but just let the song flow. And after the song flows, the speaker should be calling in pretty soon. Amen. And if you feel like calling in, the number is 1-888-342-0407. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Remember, on Tuesday at 1:30 is Bible reading time. And I have quite a few listeners calling in for that. It's good to just sit back and read the Word of God. And let the Holy Spirit give us the understanding that we need in our hearts to live from day to day. Are you ready for this song? I haven't done this in a long time, so bear with me, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Amen. Here we go. Are you ready? Put those hands together. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. Haven't done this in a long time.
heard about it, but I never felt it. This manna that comes down from above, I was living in a world of sin where I could not stay. I asked my mama, what can I do to know the man? I said, you must be, can't you see? You got to be born again. Let me tell you, you must have that fire and Holy Ghost. That prayer will turn it, get fire burning. That kind of experience, you can feel it. Makes you move, makes you shout, makes you cry. Cause it will keep your hand in the master's hand.
What a blessing to be here with you on the Voice of Joy, Pastor Yolanda, Blog Talk Radio. Call number 1-888-342-0407. Are you out there? Are you listening? Amen. Birthdays for this month. Happy birthday to each and every one of you that had a birthday for this month. Amen. And blessings to those of you that are going through right now with difficulties, trials, tribulations. They do come in our life because the Bible says there's a time and a season for everything, everything under the sun. Amen. But just remember that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. 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 Because God is good all the time, and all the time our God is good. If he's able to open the blind eyes and unstop the deaf ears, to cause the lame to walk and the dumb to start talking, amen. If he was able to save my soul, if he was able to reach out and touch you, hallelujah, in the depths of despair, if he was able to cause disciples to follow him, what's wrong with each and every one of us following him today? He's still the answer to our prayer. He's still the answer to everything that we need. Amen. We worry, 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 but worry won't solve the problem. You have a problem solver called Jesus, so reach out and call upon him, because he said, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Amen. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen. Praise God. What a blessing to be here with you today on the Voice of Joy. Amen. See magnolia blossoms blossoming out, so beautiful pink, and the trees are beginning to bloom. The birds are singing, and I hope you're praising your Lord, hallelujah, with all your heart and your soul, that you'll open your mouth wide right now and give God a praise. Put your hands together and give God a praise. Somebody start dancing. Somebody start moving. Somebody start shouting in the name of Jesus. Amen. On the Voice of Joy. It happens. It happens. Amen. Because that's our way of just saying, Lord, thank you for each and everything. You don't have to understand it. You just have to do it. Amen. Like Mary told them when he was turning the water into wine, whatever he asked you to do, just do it. Amen. Praise God. Give a clap offering. Amen for the Lord today. And Don S. McClure should be calling in just a few minutes. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to give him as much time as we can. And of course, if you do not know the Lord and the pardoning of your sin today, give your life to Jesus. There is room at the cross for you. Because if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you're saved. Amen. That's it. It's settled in heaven. You're saved. Amen. Praise God. Waiting on that caller to call in, amen, and turning it over to him, amen. Remember, the call-in number is 1-888-342-0407. Amen. Birthdays, church doors are open, church celebrations are going on, many, many, many. And I thank God for my church for the celebrations that they have and the things that we're doing. We're getting ready for a dinner tomorrow. Monday, church tomorrow all day. Monday there's a luncheon at Park Avenue Christian Church. Amen. And you will be blessed by that salad luncheon if you go over. Amen. And a bake sale. Take something home. Take something to a friend. Amen. Pick up some cookies and cakes and pies and whatever they have to sell. But just help support that ministry. Amen. We have so much going on for the summer. I was looking at our summer schedule, and I said, my Lord, amen. And in July, we'll have a Park Avenue Christian Church children and youth musicians, amen. We have musicians, young people, amen. And it's so cute to see the three-year-olds form a little choir and sing at church, amen. I don't know what else we have going on there. Cowboy Sunday in June. Amen. May is right around the corner. Amen. Peeking at us. Amen. And Mr. Don S. McClure, if you're out there, I hope you'll be calling in soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take time out to praise God for his blessings, his many, many blessings upon each and every one of us. I talk to some people sometime, and they talk about their children. So much trouble. They aren't doing because you're praising the trouble and not the Savior. Amen. Take your mind off their trouble. Don't worry about them. Get your mind on Jesus and see them as they will become. Amen. Are you ready for Mother's Day out there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's almost 4 o'clock. Amen. If you're not ready for Mother's Day, remember it's coming up on you. Hey, quickly. Please remember Mother. And for those of you that have mothers that have gone on to glory, amen. I'm going to try another song if I don't get that call soon and very, very soon. I think I have a call on the line. Ah, amen. Let's give an applause as our caller comes on, if we can get him on. Come on, let's everybody put your hands together, and let's welcome our guest speaker for today, Mr. Don S. McClure. Amen. Hello.
Well, how are you, Sister Dear?
I'm doing fine. Amen.
Yeah, I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you. Amen.
Yeah, it's a good show as usual, so I'm glad to be a guest on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you. I'm glad to have you, but I'm sure all listeners out there are glad to hear from you. And we're going to turn it over to you because let you just tell us what you're doing with the books, and you're writing books like popcorn out there, and that's a good thing. I'm proud of you. But I'm going to turn the show over to you and let you talk to the audience and just let God have his way as you explain the things you're doing, the books, and all the presentations that you're making and the book signing that you're doing. So it's all up to you now.
Well, thank you, Pastor Black. It's really good to be on your show, The Voice of Joy. And
thank
that's,
you.
Of course, what it is. It's a voice of joy to let people bring the good word toward them and find something special in the healing of God and things like that. So that's really a great show to have. I'm honored to be a guest on your show, as usual, and very proud of you for the things you're doing. Today, we're going to be talking a lot about my newest books. I have 3 new books coming out this year. I'm what they consider a prolific writer, and I'm following kind of in the footsteps of Alexandre Dumas, who was one of the greatest black writers in the world, who wrote 3 Musketeers, The Man in the Iron Mask, and just had his way with words that he got people to believe in the histories of France and what he was doing. And a lot of people didn't know that Alexandre Dumas was black, which is phenomenal, because he was a great black writer. Well, when I come up with new book ideas and try to find out what it is I want to do, I thought about writing a book about dark side of the earth, demons and angels, and what it talks about is the faith that you have to have in God, and I thought that was really miraculous due to the fact that I wanted to put a story about a young man who has been very successful, has grown a lot through all his endeavors, and he's been so blessed by God that sometimes he mixes the channels. He doesn't totally understand. So in talking to God, he thought that maybe God didn't hear what he was saying. So God sends him his angels and tells him, we've always heard what you said. That's why we give you the talents and the gifts that you have. And I think a lot of people out there don't realize when God speaks to them, they're looking for it to come in the words of your name, your address, your telephone number, something that they think they can relate to. But if they be still and they listen, like Troy's on vacation, he is in an area called Cihuatanejo, which is actually a Mexican city where there's some beautiful hotels in Cihuatanejo. Now, when I found that name in the movie Shawshank Redemption, I was thinking about the area, the things that went on, and I liked the pronunciation of it, Cihuatanejo. So I added that to my story, and that's where the young man named Troy, who has been writing all these beautiful, beautiful pieces of music, he's been writing these things, putting them together. Everybody's got him doing different things. And he's kind of frustrated at this time because he feels like he doesn't see a change in the world. He thinks only the bad people are getting all the good things and the good people are not getting anything. So he goes to take a vacation, and that's when God gets people, especially his angels, to talk to him, to tell him, listen, when you were a young man and couldn't speak, I sent you people to listen and to help you to get a great voice. You learned how to play piano at 4. I put all the great composers inside of you. You've always had a gifted life. So he finally realizes that his gifts have been given to him by God, and maybe he didn't understand the messages God was sending him. He thought that it should come in a certain way, and it wasn't coming that way. And I think a lot of times when we're talking to God or we see something happen in our life,
uh-huh.
we seem to try to figure out, is this my doing or is this God's doing? But when God puts his hands on you, then you're basically doing what he put there for you to do. And that's what the story is about. It's about a man that has kind of lost his way, but he finds his way. And everything that he ever wanted, he actually gets because he does talk to God. But he's like, well, I don't understand why everybody's asked me to do something. He said, well, I gave you the power to think that if you get too overloaded with projects, it's up to you to say, well, you know what, that would be a nice project, but I can't do it. So you ruining your health has nothing to do with God. It has something to do with you not listening and
right.
just saying, hey, you know what, maybe I don't need to write that song, or maybe I just need to back off. And I think a lot of people sometimes work themselves into a frenzy, and then they say, well, God, why'd you let that happen? And he tells them, I didn't let that happen. I gave you choice.
That's right.
I told you I gave you a gift, and you didn't have to overuse it. But I noticed one thing even in the story. No matter how much turmoil he goes through, God still brings him through it. So now he's on a beautiful island, resting and recuperating. So he finally realizes that he has a great communication with God because he's been able to play music since he's been 4. Now, I've talked to a lot of people out there when I'm writing my stories, and I try to focus in on what the world is doing and what people are doing. And I notice that a lot of people are going on Facebook and they're saying the same things, or they're putting prayers out there saying, if God, if you just pray, but they don't realize that God hears everything you say anyway. So through Jesus Christ and things that he's given us, if we would be still for a minute and just take things out calmly, we would actually come up with better answers. So it's not that God didn't give you the gift of great financial wealth, but if you go out and misuse the financial wealth, God is saying, I gave it to you. I handed it to you on a silver platter. It's up to you to stop spending so much. It's up to you to take care of your children. It's up to you to have a better relationship, because everything you asked me for, since you praised me, I've given to you. But you have to be willing to take the next step and say, how do I manage what God gives me? And I think that's where we get confused with the gifts God gives us, which is being able to speak, which is decent health, which is able to be around to see your children grow. And we take those gifts for granted because we think they're done by us when they're the blessings from God to let you see another day. So that's what this book is all about. And people are excited. I mean, yesterday I was at the train station talking to a young lady who bought a copy of To Have a Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so excited about the book, and the young lady sitting next to her said, well, what are you writing next? And I was telling her about this new book that I'm working on, Dark Side of the Earth, Angels and Demons. And she said, really? She said, oh, I got to get a hold of that one. Because I said, yeah, it's about understanding what faith really means. So now you have a new person who wants to buy your book. And she said, well, let me get the other book, too. And then I said, well, I got 5. She said, well, let me go online and I'll order all 5 of your books. So what people are doing, because they find an interest in subject matter, they decide to say, well, you know what, instead of 1 book, I'll get 2 books. I'll buy one for my friend. And that's how God blesses me, when I use what he's given me as my God-given talent. So by taking that book to the young lady who wasn't supposed to be at work, she happened to be filling in some time. She's always wanted to get a lot of the Amtrak employees to buy my books. So the managers came out, and they said, well, Don, make sure you bring some books down here to us because we want your books. So it's not always getting out there and telling people, buy my book. When people hear what you're writing about and you're so enthused, then they in turn say, well, you know, well, let me get a copy of that. And then what else do you have? It's kind of like going to a store. You see one item, then you get another item, then you get another item. So that's why I'm always grateful when people want to pick up one book after another book after another book, which started with my life story, Broken Wings, Fallen Angels, ended up with Romantic Images of You, then The Gods in the Beginning of Life, and now To Have a Friend, and I'm writing my sister Tiana, which is a spy thriller. So I'm working on that. And, of course, I got another book, Santa Claus versus the Aliens, and there's a follow-up to that called Santa Claus and the Robot Wars. So I'm always writing because it's a gift that God gave me. And not only that, it's a way to educate people to having moral value and believing in good outweighs the bad. And no matter what you go through, God understands what you're going through. But it's up to you to realize that, well, you know what, I can do some of this by just changing what I've been doing. And everybody's had a bad time. Everybody's had rough times in their life. And if you look at even the story of Jesus, there was a time that he was trying to figure out, should I really go through this change? And the devil tried to tempt him. And he said, forget that. I'm going to hold steady and fast to my faith. So when you run into hard times and it seems like everything is against you, that's when you talk to God the most. And when I'm writing, I always try to find subject matter that I think people can grow and gain from. So that's why I enjoy doing your show and going out there. And it's just been phenomenal, the acceptance of my books, my writing. I'm doing one June 1st. I'm going to be in Chicago at the library on the south side of Chicago, and I'm going to be lecturing on how to write fictional characters. And the young lady that's giving the show told me, she said, hey, Don, people are already saying, how do they get in and what do they do, because they want to come hear you speak. Well, that's a blessing. Since born as a child, I had a speech impediment, and people find that amazing to say, well, you speak so well now. But it was through the grace of God and good parents working on me and going through trials and errors that got me to where I am. So my testimony is always that people should, yes, you go through things, but you don't have to stay in those things. You can grow. Everybody has a chance to change what it is they're doing. If it's no more than a day, a week, or a month, but they can change those things. So when I write, whatever book titles I come up with, I've been fortunate enough to have the graphic design done and the editing done and the people to work with me. And my books are going all over the world, but my new books I'm excited about. I'll be up to book 8 before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll be doing new books next year. I'm writing a love comedy that's going to be really funny. And it's just amazing that you could do all these things and have people constantly wanting to get involved in what you write. So I think by being on your show and shows like this, people start to hear what you're saying. And maybe for the ones who didn't think they could write a book, I always say there's a book inside of everybody waiting to be written. And it may not be like the ones I write, but everybody does have a book and they have a story to tell. And how they get it out there depends on how hard they want to work at it, because nothing comes to you easy. So I think that having great parents and being involved in a family that's very supportive, such as my sister Yolanda Black, these are the things that people continuously hear your name and they grow and you're always reaching out to people. I'm constantly going to be doing things for the homeless or people with cancer, and those are the gifts that you give back. So when you give back those gifts, God gives you blessings in abundance, which is why my books sell. Because it's not all about me, it's about helping somebody else. And when you can do that, then God, of course, blesses you to have an abundant life. And I think we get confused with what is an abundant life. I think we measure life by the cars we drive, the houses we live in, how much money we have in the bank. But that's not abundant life. I gave a young lady one time at a phone booth that I didn't know, we're friends now, $2 so she could get home. And she said, thank you, and she got on the phone and did what she had to do, and she left, and I didn't know I knew her cousin later on. But when I pulled into a gas station, after I'd left her and I gave her my last $2, I pulled out my credit card to get some gas, and the man standing behind me, I was saying, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get this gas on my gas card, and I just gave her my $2. He said, I tell you what, put $20 from my hand to yours in your gas tank and have a good day. And that's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
That's the blessings that come multiplied. By that $2, it became $20. So a lot of times when you take your last and you say, well, you know what, hey, if you can get home with $2 here, because I can always drive to the gas station or use my credit card. I remember once picking up a young lady and a young man on the highway. Their car had just broke down, and they had a baby in the car that was kind of sickly, and I dropped them off at the church, and they said, are you going that way? I said, well, I'm going that way now, because evidently at 6 o'clock in the morning, God wanted me to be in my car with the convertible top down, driving across this bridge at that minute to pick you guys up. And your car had just stopped, and I just came across the road. So turned around again, and somebody else, I went to a store, said, let me put some more gas in your car. So this is what people don't realize. You can be blessed. Instead of just saying you're blessed, God will bless you in what you do because he sees the type of attitude, the type of heart you have. And when you open your heart and your mind, you get a lot of blessings because you're giving a lot of blessings out. And it's not always measured by the $500,000 home, and yes, I drive a Lexus, and yes, I own a Mustang, but these are the gifts that God gave me. They're not my gifts. They're gifts that God presents to me so that I can have the kind of luxuries and things that I like to be in. And even if I drove a hoopty, it would still be a blessing to have a hoopty. So that's what people don't realize. They're looking to measure by the dollar amount, or they think if they don't make $100,000 a year, that they haven't arrived. But I've seen people take $30,000 and make a good living. There's a lady that was a wash lady, and she left $250,000 to a university in Mississippi so that students could go to school. Now, she only made $2 a day, and she saved enough money over the years that when she got ready to do something, she said, I want to donate this money as a university fund. Now, if you really look back, and look how people were raising children with a little bit of money. I saw a show one time and had to think about it, that people weren't making no more than $4 an hour back in the day, and sodas sometimes was only a nickel or some candy was only a penny. But they were able to raise 13 and 14 and 11 and 12 children and send them to school. So we have to start looking at the material as being God's blessings and look at the effort of what God gives you to do with those blessings. And when you do that, you'll have an abundant life. And we got to start understanding what an abundant life means. It means decent health. It means helping your fellow man. It means being about the business of giving back the glory and the grace that God gave to you. So that's why I'm successful at writing. And every day, more and more people are getting my books and they're asking me, how do I do this? And can I help them and show them the way? And I buy a lot of other authors' books as they're coming out to help them, and in return, they buy my books and they go out, so I have a constant flow. I have one man that lives in Indianapolis. He's a security guard at a library. He's bought all 5 books, and he calls me, what you got now? I want to get your books, and he shares it with other people. He's building a collection. So I think that when you do that, when you put yourself out there and you want to educate others and help them, your blessings will come and your books will sell, and they don't have to be in Oprah's hands or Tyler Perry. Those are good people. But God will bless you with enough, because there's millions of people in this country that will get your work, and sometimes it may not reach the people that you think it should reach, but it's reaching the world. Every time the person's on your show, they reach the world. The thousands of people at your churches and the ones that are living in that area and the ones who just listen to your show. So those are blessings, and I think sometimes we get confused. So I'm always glad to be able to write, but I take my personal experiences and I put them into the characters. That's how I was able to write To Have a Friend. And if people want to get those books, they can go to www.dsmpublications.net, and they can get my books there, all the new books. They can get the water that I have. I have my own coffee now. We're coming up with mugs. I mean, I'm doing so many things, and hopefully we're working on opening up a couple of retail stores next year. Well, when we do that, that means that we have to have employees. That's what blessings are about. People confuse blessings sometimes with thinking it's just about you, but if he blesses me to have something, then in return you spread that blessing to other people, which creates income for their homes and incomes for their children and scholarship funds and stuff that they can use. So it's really a blessing to be asked to be on a show like yours.
Amen.
Or for people yeah, to ask me to come out and to speak at the June situation, June 1st, at the Carter G. Woodson Library on 95th Street. I'll be there.
Okay.
It's just so many things. They're working on Atlanta presentations for me. It's a blessing because I try to give back the blessings that God gave me. So it's not about always the financial wealth that I get. It's about the blessing wealth that I'm able to spread. And that's what people confuse. So I don't have to live in a world where I think, am I going to make it? Everything that I've ever asked God for, he's given me. So I tell people to, you know, talk to God. Ask him exactly for what you want and tell him why you want it. And you'd be surprised in a day or so, it'll come. I remember the other day I was looking at my sales sheets, and I had already put the amount in, $1,200, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to scratch that out because I haven't gotten that yet from some people that I thought were going to buy books. And then the following 2 days, I turned around, and there was $1,200 in my bank account extra. And I said, okay, so he hears what you're saying. I said, okay, well, now I can do some more books and do some more things. So when one door closes, another blessing door opens up, and that's what people have to look for and not concentrate so much on the negative. Because you're going to have storms, just like everyday life. You're going to have uphills and peaks and valleys. But if you stay fast with your faith in God, then you'll get exactly the things that you need, the things that he promised you. And it won't always be a easy road, but the road won't be as hard because he'll be by your side, as long as you have faith in God. So I love writing. I enjoy it, and I'm glad that I get to do it every day as my basic daily living, my life, my career. It's enjoyable to see people call me and say, hey, I want your first book, your second book, your third book. What are you working on now? I'll buy that before it comes out. And that's the difference. That's what you have to do. When you put other people's needs first, usually those needs will be returned to you. And I think that's where people need to get closer. When they say get closer to God, they don't mean just saying I'm blessed and talking in the church. What they're saying is when you get close to him and explain to him what it is you're trying to do, like the guy in my story, he finally realizes that, okay, God does hear me, and I need to let people know because I'm one of the greatest music composers in the world through God's graces. And I think we get confused sometimes, but for me, it's enjoyable to wake up each day and be able to write something new or go into a store and somebody asks for your book or go into a bank and somebody say, well, either I have heard of you or even if I haven't heard of you, I'm going to go buy your book and tell my friends. I just got some letters in from people in Canada, and they were like, Don, we talk about you over here all the time. And people in Africa are talking about me, and people in Scandinavia. And I'm like, okay, I need to learn how to speak Scandinavian. But it's a joy when you actually count your blessings and you know that through him you get everything that you ask for. It just depends on how you live your life. I think when you live your life the way that it should be lived, which means that honor your mother and father and treat your fellow man the way that you want to be treated. If you just do the basics, the rest will fall into place. And there's always going to be some dilemma, some strange occurrence. But when you stay steadfast and you believe that God is the answer, you'd be surprised that the blessings he's going to give you, and they may not be what you think they are. There may be some fruit that day, or you may get some extra bananas or something that you weren't expecting because you needed to have something to eat. So I just say that don't always try to identify your blessings. I think that's where people kind of get wrong. I'm grateful that he allows me to write the way that I write, and he's given me a gift to be able to express my words. But he's also given me the gift of working with a good editing agency in Canada that they go through the book and say, well, put this together and put that together. So he brings you allies. It's not always an I thing, and I think that's where people get confused. When they get blessings, they think that it's just I. So he gave you a blessing to have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. So now others get to hear you, and that's where we get a little confused. We think it's an I thing, and it's not about I. It's about what you give back to others. You will get what you sow, what you put out there, and we have to teach more of that. So I'm always glad, and people say, well, could you do my show, or could you help me write a book? I say, sure, I'll give you some advice. But what they do with it It just depends on them and why they're doing it. If they're only doing it because they want to make a lot of money, that may be possible. And then again, it may not. I don't write books because I want to make a lot of money. I want to write books because I want to put a lot of information out there. And when you put good information out there, your book sells, so you get a lot of money. I think we got to stop putting the cart before the horse and stop looking for certain things that's going to come to you if you do a good job. If you bake good cakes and you sell them, you're going to get paid for them. If you build good houses, if you build a good house, somebody else is going to want to get a house from you. You'll have the income you want. But if you put the money first, then 9 times out of 10, you may not get it. Now, there are those situations where you may. But that's why you find people saying, I'm unhappy in this big house I built because I only bought the house because it was a big house. And that's why the song, A House Is Not a Home, or when you hear somebody saying, you know, give me the simple life. When you're in a house and it's not really big, but that person is there or the love is in that house, like what we had growing up with our mother and father and our brothers and sisters. We had love in our house, which made the house grow. And it was the biggest mansion in the world because it was our house. Mm-hmm. That's what people fail to realize. I think that a lot of times we think that when we open our hand and say, well, I don't have $1 million in my hand, but you've got $1 million worth of love and spirit. And when you do that, you grow just as big as anybody else. And I think that's the messages that I try to convey to people, that it's not always about being able to be on the bestseller list, which, and I'm grateful that I am one of the highest paid in the top 100 authors in America. But at the same time, I'm grateful for the fact that people are buying my books because they don't have to buy those books. But when they want to get them and they read the book and say they got something out of it, then that's when you feel the power of what you're doing, because you're trying to share your life and the experiences of what you've had, along with sharing the experiences of what others have told you down the road. So writing is kind of like a diary. It's just putting it out there so that people can hear what you say, and then you go back and forth. So I'm always pleased with being on radio shows or talking about the gifts that God has given me. Because when you're lost and you find those gifts and you have a greater understanding, you become whole, and that's where we get confused at. So for me, it's a joy being able to write that many books in that short period of time and have 3 books, and I got 2 new books. I got one coming out in another 60 days, and I'm working on, like I said, 2 other books after that. And then I get to travel. I get to go to different cities. I get to meet different people. And it's beautiful when you're welcomed and somebody says, well, hey, I brought 10 people down to hear you, or 20 people. See, it's not always the 5,000 people that's got to hear you, because those 10 people are the 5,000. When they leave and they tell 10 more and 10 more, tell 10 more people. I remember watching a movie, and a guy said, I want everybody in the church, and it's only like 300 of you to hold up a dollar. So everybody held up a dollar. Then he said, I want you to hold up $2. So automatically in that hour, he had received the blessings that he wanted. Now, what he did was take that money and then give it to somebody else who didn't have any money. So it multiplied again and again and again. We think that if you don't have thousands of people buying your books or coming to hear you speak, that we haven't made it. And that's not the gift of success. The gift of success is even if just one person reads what you say, or one person sings a song you wrote, or one person buys a piece of art that you put together, or even baking cookies. If you just sell 10 of them, that's 10 more people that bought a product you delivered, and more than likely they're going to tell 10 more people. That's the difference in knowing why you're doing something. And I think a lot of times we get confused because we're on the bus rather than riding in the luxury car. Well, save your money up. If you just save a dollar a day, for 365 days, you'll have $365. If you save $2, you'll have $740. So the point really is that if you say, I want to put a down payment on a car, and you give yourself 12 months, and you save $3 a day, you will have enough to go into the car dealership to put on a car. It's not even rocket science. It's just the issue of saying, what are you willing to sacrifice? And if you say to yourself, instead of buying the $8 shampoo or the $15 bottle of juice, you buy the $13 bottle of juice, which tastes just as good, and you put your $3 in the change jar and watch it grow. I teach that same class in Philadelphia to women that are on what we call general assistance. And in 6 months, we come back and talk, and I see how much they have. Some have half of it, some have most of it, some have a third of it. But I promise them at the end of the year, if they just do the dollar a day or even 50 cents a day, when it comes time for their kids to go on the trip or they need $10 to do something else, they won't have to call around all their relatives and borrow $10. They'll be able to go into that jar or go into the piggy bank or go into the savings bond, and they'll have that money. I even showed a young lady, I said, if you just do that for 5 years at $365 times all those many months, you will have what you need to do whatever else it is you want to do. And when it dwindles down, you save a little bit of that. So when you reach the bottom, you could say, okay, I now know what else I need to do. If you don't take at least a quarter out of every dollar that you spend and just put it in a jar and watch it multiply. Those are the gifts that we get when we get something. And if you don't spend it all up, or sometimes you mismanage it, but if you come back and say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I at least have the grain house field or the storage house. And that's what we're missing. We don't seem to understand that it's not always saving the $1,000 or the $10,000. It's like a raindrop. One raindrop multiplies when another raindrop hits it. All of a sudden you have two. Then when you get three and four, then you got a flood. And it starts with a drip of water. If you let water drip in your sink over and over again, it would damage your pipes because the water keeps building up. It multiplies. Well, these are the things we have to do. So when you do that and you don't look for people to buy your books, people will get your books because you're out there. And I've run into hundreds of people who say, well, hey, I didn't know who you are, but let me get one of your books, or can I order your book online? And it's best to order them from my website, but they can get them in any bookstore. They can get them at Amazon, who's my publisher, and they can get those books. And so the more you're out there, a friend of mine named Carmen, who's a top model in Chicago, wrote me the other day. She said, I'm just glad to be able to know that I know a top writer who's black, and I'm going to get your books. And like I told her, I'm proud enough to know a black young lady who became a top model. So, you know, these are the people that write you back and forth, and everybody's kind of happy that everybody's trying to do something with their life. So we don't measure our life by what everybody else thinks. We measure our life by what issues we do, how we treat our fellow man, and what we give praise to God for. And when you do that, you'll have an abundant life, which is why I enjoyed visiting you when I was in Iowa and doing the book signing, and I'm excited about it if they do it again. And
they will.
The people I met, yeah, and the church was just so giving, and I remember them, and I probably will always remember them, and I'm looking forward to that type of event. So it's not always the auditorium full of 10,000 people that you enjoy, but it was that small church that the people came up, hey, you're Yolanda's brother, we want to hear what you're saying, what you're doing, can we get one of your books? And I sold every book I had. I just need to bring more. And then I bought something from everybody else. I still wear the little bracelet that the young man made for me. Yeah, I still wear it every day. And when I get a chance to see him again, I'm going to show him I still got your bracelet. That's what giving back means. It doesn't mean just always benefiting Don. It means benefiting the others. And when you do that, I gave him something. He gave me the bracelet. So we're exchanging. And then I got people calling me, well, can you come speak over here? And can you speak in Los Angeles? Or can you do this one? And when you do that, your name does grow. It may not be on the marquee on your TV tube, but it's out there because one person tells another person. And believe me, there are millions of people out there. So just because the new writers don't see their name on the special shows doesn't mean their work isn't appreciated. They've got to open their eyes and say the world is bigger than just one show or one person or one TV station or one anything. As long as you keep breathing and creating something positive, that energy is out there. You can't see the wind, but you know it's blowing. Nobody can tell you what the wind looks like, but they can feel it when it rubs across their face. When the weather changes, it gets cold. And we don't recognize that sometimes the weather just drops to a really cold degrees, and we see the snow. Sometimes you don't see the snow. So each day that you wake up, you be about the business of whatever it is that you feel will bring you some joy and peace. And if you do that, you'll have a better life, and you won't have to worry about whether or not you can do this or get that, or if you lost this or lost that, you basically are going to have the things that you really need. And even when it's the darkest times in your life, if you just sit down and be quiet for a minute, you'll find that there's some sunlight beaming through that because you got through it. And then when you get through it, you just pay attention to what basically got you there. Maybe you spent too much, or maybe you just dealt with something that you shouldn't have been dealing with, and that's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. I think we live too many times thinking that nobody is perfect. And again, if they go back to the story of Jesus, even he questioned, are you sure I got to go like this? And he said, yeah, because I need you to do these types of things. So it's basically sometimes you think you're losing, but you're really not losing. You're gaining. So when you take a step back, it might be because you need a little rest, like the guy in my story. He needed a little rest to realize that he could turn some things down. He didn't have to accept every job that came his way. He could have said, you know what, I'm going on vacation, I'm taking my family out. And people do that. They rush around so much and they accept every invitation instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to spend some time with my wife or girlfriend or cousin, whatever, and I'm just going to stop by there and say hello and give them a few minutes of time. So sometimes you got to recognize when to slow down, because you don't want your health to have to tell you to slow down. You want to be in control of that. And if you eat right and try to live the better life, you'd be surprised. Now, every show is talking about just eating the simple things, fruit and cutting out some of the sugar. Well, then they're telling you already, when you do that, you're going to have a much longer life. You know, they're trying to figure out why people in other countries are living longer. Well, they're not dealing with a lot of the processed food. So if you say, okay, instead of 8 Coca-Colas, I'll drink one, or maybe none, or I'll get something else, some nectar or something. So to me, you get the answers. You just have to be really willing to do what you need to do for you, because every life is different. Every life is measured by its own measuring stick, not by Don's, not by anybody else's. They have to talk to God and get their own measurement, and they will be more at peace when they find out what their measurement is. That's why I don't look at other writers and say, well, you know, they're selling 10 books, and I don't even live like that. I just say, you know what, I'm working on mine, and all of a sudden a sale will come in. Yeah, you can't measure your life by other people, because each person's walk in life is different. Each person's walk with God is different. They have a personal relationship, and they got to find out what that personal relationship is for them. Not based on what I think or anybody else. It's based on what they believe. And as long as they stay steadfast, you'd be surprised how they'll grow and look back and say, you know what, I don't know what I was thinking about. I could have been did this. And I just think that being out there every day, seeing people say they want to write, I said, just write it. Even if it's got errors in it, even if it needs spell check, don't keep trying to make it perfect. Just write it. And as you go along, you will get better at writing. It's like designing or painting your house. You might not do it right the first time, and you keep painting, and guess what? You become a painter. So it's really painting your life the way you want it. And if you want a good life, just get you an easel and say, you know what? Starting today, I'm going to have a better life. Instead of taking aspirin for my headache, I'm just going to get a little more rest. And this way, you're in control, because you're always in control of what happens to you, no matter what anybody believes. You're in control. So if you don't want to be on a certain path, I mean, if you want joy in your life, then you bring joyful thoughts.
Amen.
If you keep adding the misery to your life, you're going to always be in misery. I mean, it's very simple. If you don't want a lot of misery, don't keep looking for a lot of misery. If you wake up in the morning and say, oh, my bones hurt, then they're going to hurt. But if you go about life saying, you know what, I want to write a new book in 2 months. Then you're going to write a book in 2 months because you're going to put yourself to that task.
Amen.
And if you don't write the book in 2 months, then you say, well, did I work on the book yesterday? No. Did I work on the book the day after that? No. Well, then you're not going to write it in 2 months. It's like exercising.
Amen.
If you don't get up and exercise, then you're going to gain weight. You're going to do all the things. You say, well, why am I doing it? You won't exercise. So
all
you make up your mind. You do the 30 minutes or you don't do it.
Amen.
But the real trick to life, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Yep. You can either drink too much wine. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So I want people to get a chance to, if they get a chance, go to my website, www.dsmpublications.net. My email is McClure.S@gmail.com. They can write me, and they can Google my name or go on Amazon. I mean, I'm all over the place, and I appreciate it. What I like about it is each time that one person buys a book, I mention it on Facebook, and people go like, really, just one? I say, because I didn't have that one before then. And when a person comes back and buys another one, I get that out there, and that's what makes the difference. I give them back the thanks for saying, you know, hey, for getting my work, because they don't have to. So then they tell somebody else, or they say, well, let me get three books. Let me get another book. Let me get a book for my cousin. That's how my sales work, because I appreciate the effort that they do. And we're working right now on a new program. A young lady told me she has a lot of excess shoes. So I'm thinking about maybe in a couple of months doing a fashion show where we can give the shoes away after we show them. Because a lot of people got extra shoes in their homes, and they're like, you know what, there may be some people that don't have some shoes. So we'll do the show and then just give them out to young ladies that may want to go to work or find a job. Or I'm thinking about contacting Dress for Success and just donate the shoes to them after we give the show. So that's how you grow. When you share with others your wealth and your blessings, you get blessed, and it multiplies.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have enjoyed your show.
Wow.
You are a blessing to me.
We've enjoyed everything that you said, all the input and how positive it is. And I'm sure people will be ordering your book. And, of course, the Voice of Joy supports you and everything that you're doing. And what a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing to always be on your show. I just enjoy it.
Right?
I really like your spirit and being so uplifting when I talk to you. And it's like, hey, that's my brother.
Yes, that is my brother.
But you're a joy, and your show is good. It's got the proper name, The Voice of Joy.
The Voice of Joy came when I was in a down point in my life in 1973 after my husband passed, and I got a hold of that name and didn't know it was in the Bible, but it is in there. But that's when I took on that name, The Voice of Joy, and started just giving to others and doing for others and uplifting spirits and inspiring others that you can make it. No matter what you go through, you can make it.
Yep,
and I'm
really
impressed by you and the things that you're doing, and proud of you. And wow, it's just a blessing to have so much talent in the family. One go and be able to share that with some young people at schools and let them know that no matter what anybody says about you right now, how you feel, you're not going to be in first grade kindergarten forever.
That's right.
And so we need to start teaching our children to think ahead and watch them in play and find out that they'll be exactly what they're playing right now. So keep it good.
We keep going. And that is, like you said, it's a blessing. That's why, like, Mason has asked me to come back. And Mason realized that. They said, instead of waiting for you to get into high school and college, they want you to come back to your junior high school, to your elementary school. Because if you made it out of that, they're saying that's success for you to even make it out of junior high. So if you could come back and tell those junior high students, you can get into high school. So they're realizing that sometimes you got to go back even further. Go to the kindergarten classes, the elementary schools, while they're still reaching, and just say, look, I went here, or, I had this problem, I had that problem, but you can beat that. And once you encourage them, some of them are going to take it on and do better.
Oh, yes. They've already set plans and start thinking like, hey, this isn't forever.
Yeah.
And even in second grade, I tell them, you do have to look forward to third grade, and you're not taking Granny O's head with you.
That's right, I got to take Granny O. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Granny O. So I have fun with them just like I did with all my six brothers when they were growing up, and I make learning fun.
Yeah.
And I tell them, I don't want to hear any talking pencils and stuff like that, and just make them enjoy being who they are. And no matter who you are or where you are, amen, there is nothing that should disturb that independence that you should be developing in yourself as children.
Yeah.
Amen. Because once we get in, nobody can bully you out of anything except you yourself bully yourself into being something the best you can be. Amen.
Yep.
Just on yourself, because that's what we did when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I still tell the story about how you typed on a paper typewriter, you know, on a kitchen table. And learned how to be great at it, So I don't listen to people when they tell me they can't.
Listen, I've got to get ready to sign off.
Well, you sign off. I enjoyed your show, and
look
forward to being on again and tell your audience it was wonderful being on. And you have a great day.
Right. God bless you. Love you. Have a blessed day, and continue on. Amen. With all the books, and I'll keep ordering books, and I do want that cup. Amen. Wow. What a blessing to have Mr. Don S. McClure on the show, an author, quite a speaker, as you can tell. And we just got to be praying for him and keeping on the voice of joy. Let's close off with a song, and after that, God bless you. Be sure to tune in next Saturday to the Voice of Joy, Pastor Yolanda, on Blog Talk Radio. Call-in number is 1-888-342-0407. Thank you so much for listening. Let's close off with a song, and that should do it for today. Wow. Wow. I am so blessed by that message. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One song, and then we'll close off. Praise God for all he's done. We're an anchor for those who are hurting. Harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy. Bury Calvary's cross. We're ridiculed by those who don't know him. Mocked by those who don't believe. Still I'm standing up for my Jesus, because of all that he's done for me. I tell you, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted. I'm willing to give my life, cause I'm ready to be all he wants me to be. I'll give up the wrong for the right. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For all the time that his hand has shown mercy, for all the love he's shown to me in my life, a million thanks can express how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the only one who's been faithful to me. I'm not out to please this old world around me. I've got my mind on eternity. I tell you, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, no, I am not afraid to be counted. I'm willing to give my life, cause I'm ready to be all he wants me to be. I'll give up the world. Oh, of the gospel. No, no, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I've got too much behind me. No, 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 you cannot find me. But he's the name, but to me, he's my everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Of the gospel. I got too much behind me. No, 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 you cannot find me. To God, he's the name. But to me, he's my everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, no, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, 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 I'm not ashamed. Thank you for listening to The Voice of Joy. Pastor Yolanda on Blog Talk Radio.